The Jews took counsel to kill him. Surprise, surprise. Exactly like they did with our Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly as it will be today as you stand up between unconverted religious professionists and you declare Christ unto them, that hatred toward you will be, is exactly what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the point of wanting to crucify and slay him. I've often said, since they can't get their hands on Christ, because he's seated in glory, they're going to get their hands on you. It says, but their laying await was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Who knows the anger that is in men's hearts? While all the while they profess to be the Lord's, outwardly appear to be pious, and yet in that heart is this very hatred toward Christ. And they would kill you if they could. That's what they did. So the disciples, again, that verse 25, that word means learners. Those who were learners along with Paul of Christ took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. That's an interesting scenario because they were laying wait at the gates. But here now were these that had been made to be brethren of Saul and caring for his life, let him down by the wall in a basket. Even that the Lord was directing because it was impossible that they could kill Saul. The Lord had already said of him in verse 15, Acts 9, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He wasn't even out the gate, and here it comes. And continued to be that way. But none of that moved him. None of that deterred him. Why? Because faith is not a performance or a profession. It's a persuasion. What is it that against all of men's hatred and odds that causes a person to continue to look to Christ and rest in him alone, even if it means standing against all that religion represents? It's that persuasion. Just like this clamorous woman that you read about here in verse 13. This is not talking about an individual woman. It's just like we saw in previous chapters, that horror, that prostitute woman that calls passersby. Here she's called a clamorous woman, but a foolish woman. In other words, having no understanding of things of Christ and clamorous in the sense that she continues to call out. Just turn on the radio today and go through and see how many channels are dedicated to this clamorous woman. They're promoting their religion. They want more people to join and become part of it. Here it says she sits at the door of her house and on a high seat in the high places of the city. What we see here described in verse 14 is really what Revelation talks about. The beast and the false prophet in the high places of the city. This is a woman. This is a religion that loves to have influential people in her congregation and in her midst. And what it says there in verse 17, stolen waters are sweet. When it speaks of stolen waters, it's talking about in the day when you didn't have any water for yourself, but you went over here and stole what didn't belong to you and brought it and started selling it. And it might seem sweet so long as you're getting away with it. And notice, water and bread. What's it talking about? We're talking about a woman here that's in disguise, making people believe that really by following her, they are following Christ. We're not talking about way out religion here. We're talking about ones that take this word, just as we're reading it right now, and steal what it says, but to turn it for their own glory and not the glory of Christ. And act as if they've been sent by Christ, and they haven't. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It's pleasant when people come. Everything that this woman does is to try to make this message of Christ palatable. You see that? Stolen water, sweet. They don't want to preach a Christ that is sovereign in all things and has all flesh in his hands to do with what he will. No, they try to sweeten the pot. They try to make this Jesus that they preach to be palatable.
Verse 20, all go unto one place. He's speaking of the process of death. It's not saying that men don't have souls as animals, but go into one place, that is the grave. All are of the dust and all turn to dust again. It's just funeral homes have made a big industry of trying to make death look different. You've got people in cosmetics trying to make the body look right. You've got funeral homes that are selling you the most expensive 100-year guarantee, won't leak type vaults and all of that, but it's still dust. That's how the Lord made us from the dust, our Father, and that's to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? That's the one thing that distinguishes man from beast. There are a lot of people that would love to think that we all just die as beasts and that's it. But here, clearly in verse 21, scriptures make a difference. The spirit of man goes upward. It doesn't mean everybody that dies goes to heaven, but it just means that that spirit is taken before the judge. But the spirit of the beast goes downward to the earth. Wherefore I perceive.